vanuit Brussels Expo op Business AM CyberSec Europe.
En we zijn er terug met Nina Schick, internationaal adviseur over generative AI. En we hebben het nog altijd over cybersecurity, meer bepaald over de impact van synthetische content. Content gegenereerd door bots, die nu baanbrekende technologie, die stormenderwijs de wereld verovert. Nina, like you said, there is a positive and a negative side to use of easily generated content for leisure and pleasure, maybe even for some editorial reasons. Do you see this technology also being used as a weapon?
There's no doubt that it'll be used as a weapon, because ultimately, this is a story about humanity. This is about exponential technology, but it's about how humans use that technology. It's still very much in the control of humans. And when it comes to negative effects, there'll be two types of negative effects. The first are those who look at these tools and use it to intentionally weaponize. So to create mis and disinformation, to do impersonation, identity theft, fraud, at a level even above that, you know, when you look at the geopolitical level, to scale potential mis and disinformation to attack, you know, a nation state, to inundate an information ecosystem with narratives that are corrosive to the country or the entity that you want to attack brands. So those are kind of the direct weaponization of AI-created content and being able to scale content in a really malicious way. But there will also be second-order negative effects, and those are the ones that are not done with intent. So the kind of unintended consequences that we might have a good idea what they might look like, but also things are going to emerge that we just didn't expect. Mm-hmm. And for me, in that second bucket, the thing that I'm most concerned about is just the bigger question about information integrity. So once people start to understand that AI is used to generate, you know, all content and all digital information, how do you trust anything at all? Mm-hmm. And does it get to a point where people become so cynical that they don't trust anything? So it's both the direct weaponization of these technologies as well as the kind of unintended consequences. And the best analogy we have for this is the internet itself. Mm-hmm. We know all about the amazing things about the internet, but oh my God, have we quickly learned that people can weaponize it both intentionally and that there are unintended consequences.
Yeah. Is there a need for, say, a synthetic detector, a forensic detective machine that can probe into the synthetic content of other machines? And if it exists, is it any good?
Yes, there is a need, but I think there is, actually, we just need to take a wholesale kind of different approach to information integrity. And there is a role for synthetic media detectors. This is kind of using AI to detect AI-generated content. It's really difficult to do, though, as any kind of cybersecurity person will be able to tell you, because it's always adversarial. There's not one-size-fits-all model. And most of all, it's not enough. It's just one layer of defense. So you can try to detect AI-generated content. But another technical approach you can take is what we already talked about, which is about authenticating content, whether it's created by AI or not. So being transparent about the origins of content and adopting an open standard across the internet for content provenance, so people can see the context of the information that they're consuming, and if some information or content comes without kind of the sign or isn't adaptable to the open standard, you know, it's up to you whether you trust that information or not.
Aren't we forgetting that there might be also another danger? I'm not thinking about having to fight sentient robots. I'm simply thinking about unemployment. And if these machines are so smart, then some new machines will disrupt entire markets now still served by humans.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a huge political and societal issue, because we are at the stage now where, especially when it comes to these generative models, they can do a lot of the things that we thought was unique to human intelligence and creativity, or at least the production of elements of human intelligence and creativity. So you're looking at the first time at the automation of certain elements of white-collar jobs. This isn't the automation of the factory line. You know, this is automating certain parts of legal work, of production work, of creative work, of artistic work. So as these models, again, we're only at the very, very, very beginning, as they develop and become far more sophisticated in what they're able to do, you already see it happening. I mean, with large language models, they're now being deployed as this kind of software layer for enterprises to automate sales, SEO, strategy, emails, and that's only the beginning. So yeah, the automation of elements of human creativity and production in the world of work is very much going to be an important and dominant theme going forward.
You also mentioned the numbers before. 6.6 billion people now own a smartphone. That is almost indeed 85% of humanity. Do we actually want to live in a virtual world? Is this the way forward for humanity?
Very philosophical question again, because ultimately I suppose all of these questions are deeply philosophical and deeply human, because it is asking about how do we want to live and how do we want to integrate this exponential technology into our lives. About being in a virtual reality, I mean, we already live in a virtual reality, mm-hmm. right? We have these devices that we hold in our hand where our entire life is stored. 84% of humanity already owns one. How quickly did that happen? I mean, the first iPhone came out 17 years ago. There has been no technology that has been adopted as quickly as the smartphone. And I think AI is going to be adopted even quicker, because unlike the internet or unlike the smartphone, where you actually had to have physical infrastructure or physical devices, this can already be rolled out seamlessly into this ecosystem as a software. And that ecosystem is already a virtual reality. It's just that that virtual reality is going to be augmented with artificial intelligence.
And who owns the copyright of all this synthetic content?
Great question, because nobody knows yet. Mm-hmm. And because this is also unprecedented, these are the fundamental questions that are already being hashed out right now. So already legal cases, I mean, 2023 is the year of AI litigation, and the opening salvos on grounds of IP, copyright, ownership. Very important cases already being raised. The suing of some generative AI companies on the basis of training data and copyright infringement. Also some rulings made by the US Copyright Office that say that certain elements of AI-generated work cannot be subject to current copyright protections. Mm-hmm. So a lot happening on the front of, okay, AI-generated stuff is not is infringing data or is not subject to copyright, but a lot more work to be done in terms of, well, if none of this is protected, what can be protected? Mm-hmm. Given, again, that these technologies and these systems, I mean, it's happening right now, are going to be integrated into enterprises as a way of generating new IP, as the way of generating new content, ideas, and information. They're going to want to be able to own that.
For most new technologies, tech companies are the driver of new business. Moreover, the competition between those companies, they can drive the laboratory process into real consumer and profitable processes. In this case, porn could become an important flag carrier. What is porn supposed to do to launch generative artificial intelligence into the minds, but also into the pockets of humanity?
Well, pornography in this instance is pioneering, just like with the case of the internet itself, because it all started with porn. When people understood, or enthusiasts, AI enthusiasts or ML kind of research geeks, started having access to these new generative tools and capabilities that were emerging from the AI research community, so AI can create new pieces of content that didn't exist before, the first thing they started doing was creating porn, of course. And it's undeniably gendered. It's only women who are in these kind of AI-created fake porn videos. And of course, it's all done without the consent of the women in these films. So to me, pornography it wasn't a tawdry women's issue. It was just the very beginning of some of the bigger existential issues that are going to become the questions our society has to be able to deal with as we kind of enter into this era of generative AI. So porn is a cautionary tale, and in this case, it's such low-hanging fruit. I mean, why isn't it illegal to take somebody's identity, use AI to clone them, and to make fake porn videos? You know, so this is, again, when it comes to regulating some of the malicious use cases or outlawing some of the malicious use cases of generative AI. It started with porn, and that's the first thing it should be clamped down on.
And how are we to navigate this new era? Should companies pave the way first, showing how to behave more responsible towards cybersecurity, or is each individual user responsible for every step we make ourselves?
I think that the changes are so profound and happening so quickly that no single company, no single agency, no single individual can be expected to comprehend it all and have full accountability or responsibility. But absolutely, we as individuals and consumers, if you understand, if you just have a conceptual framework of what's happening and the speed at which it's happening, you are better placed to navigate this future. Mm-hmm. Because there are going to be risks, there are going to be a lot of opportunities as well, but the underlying theme is going to be change. So those who understand or are engaged are going to be able to put themselves, I guess, in the best position. When it comes to private companies having a responsibility, absolutely. Not least because they are developing these models and the AI. It's an interesting thing what's happened with artificial intelligence over the past decade, where predominantly the research expertise used to be in academic institutions, but now that's firmly moved into private companies. So the companies that are leading kind of the investment and the research absolutely have a responsibility to deploy this technology as quote unquote safely and as ethically as possible.
At least I had the pleasure of talking to you in real, Nina Schick, not the hologram version of
right.
you. Thank you very much for having had this conversation with me. Nina Schick, auteur en internationaal adviseur met betrekking tot generatieve artificial intelligence en cybersecurity.
Thank you.
Vanuit Brussels Expo op Business AM, CyberSec Europe.